Psalm 119, verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. He's talking about creation, everything. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine afflictions. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. For those of you that don't know what precepts means, it just means being able to obey what you're being told to do, receiving instructions. It's like going to the doctor and getting a prescription. This is what you need. And you know, now it's something up to you when you get your prescription. There's more to it than going to the doctor and getting a prescription. When you leave the doctor, somebody needs to go get what the prescription calls for. Otherwise, you'll just have a prescription and you won't have anything going on that would have resulted had you not acknowledged those precepts and done what was instructed, rather than having just accepting the fact that you were told what to do and that settled it. Somebody has to do something. I'll never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. That quicken there means made me to live, made me to have a life. You hear a lot of people saying, go get a life. Now, this is how you do it. Listen to what God tells you to do, how to live, where to go, how to be, and do it, and you'll get a life. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. I've sought your instructions and directions. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. In other words, Lord, I'm not depending on all that I have to say about what all I've gone through and what I've overcome and what's still eating at me now, but it's your testimony. You never lose a battle. You never run away in defeat. You never are unable to fix it. You're never confused and walking in circles wondering what to do. So I'll consider your testimonies, because God can always testify, I got the victory. God can always say, everything's all right. And it can be true every time. Amen. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. In other words, it's not everything that I want it to be all the time, but you're able to make it right. Oh, how I love thy law. Same as saying, oh, how I love your word, oh God. I love your word. It is my meditation all day. I think about it. Thou, which means you, thou through thy commandments, that's your commandments, you through your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, because they're always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. A lot of kids think that today, don't they? But this man knows what he's talking about, because his teachers are not school teachers in this case. It's experience in life. Everything you do in life is a teacher, and you're going to come out of it having learned some lesson, and then you're going to have to make some decisions on what to do with the lessons you've learned. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I do what you tell me to do. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Because it doesn't always look, I'm saying my part here now, it doesn't always look right to me what you require of me. But then I find out that you were right. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. Make me alive. O Lord, according to thy word. Except I beseech thee, I'm pleading with you, God, in other words, except the free will offering of my mouth. I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because this is my choice to offer thanks unto my God. And Lord, teach me your judgments. My soul is continually in my hand. In other words, I can choose to let myself go. I can choose to walk a bad path. I can choose to be not so nice and not so happy. It's in my hand. I can do these things. But yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me. They're trying to trap me. But I didn't err from your instructions. I didn't go their way. I went your way. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even till the end. I have decided, in other words, to follow you, Lord. Praise God. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've heard the wind blow before, and talk is cheap. In other words, I've heard people say what they're going to do, but they didn't do it. So it was just hot air. I'm not pointing this at anybody, but I'm looking at a world that's looking at me full of people like that. Had people even lately make promises to me when you were not present, get my hopes all built up. They really mean it this time. I can tell. I even told other people, I believe there's a difference this time in this particular individual. I see something I haven't seen before. But it turns out, really, all I saw was what I've seen every time. But the Christian delight is to hope for the best, and to believe of all things, and endureth all things, and expecteth all things to turn out good. Amen. So we find ourselves easily disappointed by the wishy-washy ways of mankind. But there is a God who can change this erratic behavior into steadfastness. And only God can do this, because he's God and nobody else can really accomplish it. Amen. So anyway, here we go. There's some things that just don't mix. You can't see these same things happening, these things I'm going to mention at the same time. Amen. I've never seen a positive, happy, pessimistic person. I've never seen somebody who's always down in the mouth and complaining about something happy at the same time. In order for me to see them happy, the pessimism, the complaining, and the griping has to go. Amen. And when they're happy, there's no more pessimism. But once the pessimism comes back, the happiness disappears. You just can't do both at the same time. concern is not the same thing. You can be concerned and be positive. Concern is something that we all know about. We are concerned about the wrong things that go on in people's lives. But we stop short of becoming pessimists because there's no room for pessimism in the household of faith. Because God is a God who always has happy endings for those who trust Him. He always works it out for those who follow His precepts. He always has an answer that makes things better than they ever were before when we turn to Him and all the things we go through. And so the answer is never darkness. The answer is never sadness. The end of it all should never be the valley. The end of your dream, the end of your hope, the end of your walk, the end of your relationship, the end of everything that you're trying to strive for should never end with you in sad tears. You might have those along the way, but there comes a point in your life when you need to trade your sorrows for gladness. Your sadness for happiness. Hallelujah. I've never seen people at peace and going through a storm at the same time. And you might think that that's not true. You've been there. No, there's a peace in the midst of the storm. But the best of the best of the human race cannot keep from having some fear and some concern. When your world is turning upside down and your family's being thrown around and everything's falling in on you and the foundation is being shaken and your whole world is falling apart, you can claim it's never going to happen for you, that you'll always be peaceful. But liars are going to hell because you're not exactly what you want to be, although you're saved because you've got the peace in the midst of the storm with you. And He's the one who's able to come out and speak to the wind and speak to the waves. But before He does, we're just like those closest followers that followed Him. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? How are we going to get out of this mess? Oh my, the elements are against us. Everything's falling apart. And then it dawns on them, Jesus is still alive. He's asleep, but He's on this boat. There comes a time in your life when the only answer is Jesus Christ. And you may not understand anything about what's going on in your life. You don't have to if you acknowledge the fact that His precepts is what you need in your life. His answer is all you're looking for in your life. Once you get settled into the peace of Jesus, He says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth peace. My peace I give unto you." And He says, follow the way of peace. Follow the way of peace. I've never seen anybody go forward and backward at the same time. Have you? You can't do it. As soon as you're not going forward, you are going backward. Or either you're standing still, but you're not going forward and backward at the same time. As soon as you're going backward, you're definitely not going forward. Try it sometime. See if you can do it. Go forward and backward. You think you can do it? Think you can go forward and backward at the same time? You'll split yourself apart. Can't be done. I've never seen anybody go up and down at the same time. It's never happened. Nothing can go up and down at the same time. Of course, the college professor will have a way of looking at this and say, well, you know, it depends on where you are. If you're in China and you're going up, I mean, if you're here and people in China know you're here and they're watching you on the internet, when you go up, actually to them, you're going down. So, the philosopher and the smart alecks will say, so you're going up and down at the same time, so you can't be telling the truth up there preaching all this stuff because you've already messed yourself up. You've already said something that's not true. But see, they're too smart for their own good. I'm not talking about people on the other side of the world standing upside down, because over there, they're standing upright. And for them, up is down, and up here, for to us, to them, down is up. So I'm talking about this side of the world, in the little circle where you're standing. Where you are right now, you're not going to go up and down at the same time. Forget the people in China for a minute. I've listened to those lectures, and there's nothing you can say that turns out right, because they always have a different slant on anything, a different spin on it. I've never seen a Christian and a sinner at the same time in the same body. Now, this will confuse a lot of people who claim to be Christians. But there's more to being a Christian than saying, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. It has maybe a way of identifying yourself with people who are believers, and they call themselves Christians. But people can call themselves Christians just because they believe in Jesus Christ, but not be a Christian as far as God is concerned, because the way God sees Christianity is to be Christ-like. No whoremongering, no filthy talk, no lying, no cheating. You know, and it sounds like a big list of a legalistic preacher's rule book. But Jesus lived this kind of a life. Movie makers don't believe it, and so they charge money to get you to go to some of the theaters to see how Jesus really was, in their opinion. But the way they try to portray Jesus to have really been is the way they really are, because they only understand that dark side of life, that lying, cunning, deceiving side of life. They can't identify with anybody being in this world living without having to tell a little white lie once in a while. There are no white lies. They're all as deep, dark as they can be. Even the slightest exaggeration is a lie. What hope is there for us? Jesus. He can make you with his ability. And just the flash of a twinkling of an eye, so to speak, he can quicken you. He can make you perfect with nothing bad in your life. But you can't be in perfection and stay like you were at the same time. Hallelujah. To be Christ-like, to be a Christian the way Christ sees a Christian, you give up the world. You can't be worldly and holy at the same time. I've never seen anybody that was worldly and holy at the same time. They call it sanctification. When you're separated from the world and yet you're in the world, but you're not of the world, you're sanctified. And it's God that makes us holy. And our holiness is not our own holiness, it's his holiness that came as a result of us considering God in all of our ways. His thoughts are still his thoughts, but he puts his thoughts in our hearts. His ways are still his ways, but he causes us to be able to enjoy his way as we have the strength to tell our hands where to reach, and our feet where to walk, and our eyes what to look to, and our ears what to hear. You get control over your brain even when you put on the mind of Christ. His way takes your way out of the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've never seen a person be right and wrong at the same time. Have you? If you think you have, your thinking is a little messed up right now, so we'll just still love you anyhow. But you can't be right and wrong at the same time. Now, you might, I'm not talking about right about some things and wrong about some things. I'm talking about whatever that thing is we're talking about. I'm talking about something. If you're considering one thing. In other words, if you're saying right now that 3 plus 2 equals 7, you're wrong. And there's no way that that will ever be right. It's not right. But if you say 5 plus 2 equals 7, you're not wrong. And so that means you're right and you're not wrong. But 6 plus 2 does not equal 4. So if you say that it does, you're wrong. And no amount of debate is going to change it to being right. And you can claim you're skinny when you're fat. But if you're fat, you're wrong. And you can't. But if you're fat and you say, I'm fat, you're right. And you're never able, ever going to be able to get that straightened out in the same moment at the same time. The only thing you can do is just stick with the truth. If you say you're young and you're old, you're wrong. And only God can make sense out of the weak person saying, I'm strong. But he says in his word, let the weak say, I am strong. But I've never seen anybody weak and strong at the same time. But the reason God instructs us to say to the weak, say I am strong, is because in Christ, all things are possible. The crooked ways are instantly made straight. At the sound of your voice speaking faith, you're not weak anymore. When you speak it, you're strong and weakness is out of your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth in that. It's simple. It's not deep. But hey, most people I talk to don't talk very deep. They're pretty simple. They just talk about everyday things. Up and down. Most of them talk about the weather and sports. Yeah, weather, sports. The ones that seem to be happy usually act happy after their team won. And the ones that pay a lot of attention to the weather seemingly enjoy it better when it's nice. But some folks are so grouchy when it's cloudy and raining, especially if it's raining on a Saturday and Sunday. When they had all these plans, just goofed everything up. And they might go to church on Sunday, but hey, after a couple of rainy days, they're hard to deal with sometimes. Hallelujah. But God can give you sunshine in the midst of your cloudy day. God can give you peace in the midst of your storm. God can give you strength in the midst of your weakness. And God can make a skinny person fat instantly. But I'm not talking about the flesh now. But he instructs us in the Word of God to be fat. Why do you think I'm trying so hard? But that fatness is eat the Word of God. Drink the Word of God. Fill yourself up with the ways of God. Get fat in the Lord. Your lean soul hungers for this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see something else I haven't seen at the same time. Faith and doubt. You can't be a doubter while you're having faith. This may seem elementary, but you know, today, sometimes when I'm trying to work out a complex problem, I still go back to 1 plus 1 equals 2. And A is the first letter in the alphabet. Sometimes we still have to remember what we learned when we were really young. And after we get older and had a lot of experience, we still lean on what we have learned a long time ago. Because even if you're 90 years old and you learned this when you were 5, 2 plus 2 still equals 4. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're an old person and you learned when you were a child in Sunday school that Jesus is the mighty God, He still is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I mentioned a while ago about doing what you can with what you've got. What do we have? Well, depends on how you're looking at it. If you're looking at what you've got is your possessions, the amount of money that you may have or be able to have, or you're looking at the group that you're involved with, whatever it may be, the club or the or maybe the popularity that you enjoy, having a lot of friends. If all these things are dear to you and that's what makes you tick, makes you feel happy, or if you're a fisherman and just looking forward to that, oh, that day or two when you can really spend all the time you want to out there where you know the fish are, or that trip you've always wanted to take to Disneyland or whatever, and that makes you happy to think about, oh, what it is you're going to get to do in a few days. And so what you have is something that makes you happy. You're looking forward to things that cause you to smile. But then when something goes wrong, your world falls all to pieces. That's why there's so many people crying in their beer today. So many sad songs. I've sat in restaurants at 3 o'clock in the morning after they came out of the bar and listened to them sing and play the jukebox over and over. Sat there trying to eat my eggs and my biscuits and my gravy. And here they come. I'm not talking bad about these people. They're just sad people in a sad, mixed-up world coming out of the party where they have been, where they went there feeling like, this is going to make me happy tonight. Ah, as soon as I get off work today, I know where I'm going. And man, it's going to be fun. But when I see them come out of those places where I'm sitting there eating my eggs and biscuits, they don't look like they had such a good time to me. I walk over to the jukebox. The music starts and they go... They don't care how they look, but they'll criticize you if you just raise your hand a little bit and say, praise the Lord. They come to church and see somebody go, oh, Jesus, oh, you shouldn't do that in church. But they don't mind coming in while I'm eating my eggs. Right after they had a wonderful party. Right after they met their goal, got off work, and just went there with plenty of money in their pocket. Got all his money in their pocket. Going to party tonight. We're going to have a good time. 6 hours later. Oh, what a good time this world has to offer. I've seen it over and over. But I've watched people come out of church while I've been sitting eating my eggs and biscuits. And they're still smiling. Still beaming with joy. Still saying, wasn't it good? Man, we had a time tonight. And the old sad fellow over there drinking his beer and crying tears into it, and he has more tears than he's got beer now.
What are y'all so happy about?
I heard one guy turn around once and he said, it ought to be a sin to be laughing right now.
You don't know what I've been through.
I understand. We got plenty of people in here who understand.
Yes, we do.
Because they weren't always holy rollers. Oh, they were rollers, but not holy rollers. I've seen some of the people in this church right here tonight who sing and testify in this place vomit all their beer out right in my floor. And stagger all over my place and get my things dirty and break my things. I ain't going to tell you who they are. There's some in here right now serving God. And God don't want me to tell on them.
Hallelujah.
And neither do they. Hallelujah. But they're not that way and this way at the same time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, isn't it great to have a testimony? The testimony of Jesus Christ. Because every time we get up to say God's been good to me, we're only saying what God is saying. Because we wouldn't be able to say how good God is unless we were showing forth the goodness of God in our life. Our testimony is more than just words. It's more than just being thankful and saying those words. But it's being thankful with a thankful heart. And we speak because we are enjoying the precepts of God. When God said, don't go that way, we turned and we wouldn't go that way. When God said, you can't do that and this other at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. You can't get bitter water and sweet water out of the same fountain at the same time. You can't serve God and anything else at the same time. You can't love God and love your money at the same time. You gotta love God, and if you do, woo, Gloria gets good out here. He quickens you. That's what they're talking about when they say abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life. What does that mean? It means good living. Good living. Hallelujah. How sweet it is. Mm-hmm. So do what you can with what you got. What do you have? You have Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. See the little boy with a few fishes and a few little loaves? And 5,000 men plus the women and the children. You got 5,000 men in a field. You probably have at least 6,000 women. Because they always have a way of getting together. And then some of them got kids. Some of those kids, kind of like the lady I heard about, she had 12 kids and they all had the same name. And that was John. In this case, it was John. John. 12 kids, and they're all named John. All boys. John, John, John. Somebody asked her, how do they know who you're talking about when you call them to dinner? She said, I call them by the last name. God's good, ain't he? Moving right along. You have more than you realize. Taking what you got, the little kid with a few fish and a few loaves. Even the closest disciples, the ones that were following Jesus really close, saying, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, feed them. Now he said that to them, if I remember correctly, before Andrew said anything about the kid with the food. He said, feed them. But whether it was before or after, it was still just as difficult to understand why he would say, feed them. Because when you got thousands of people that are hungry, and a couple of fish and a few loaves, you still have nothing. But when you've got Jesus, you've got what it takes. Thank you, Jesus. That was what the lesson was about. It was about take what you have, no matter how small it is, whatever you've got, and make sure you have Jesus. Because Jesus can fix it. As Sister Gloria sings, Jesus can fix it. Let Jesus fix it for you. We all need a quick fix sometimes. Hallelujah. I love it when I'm having a problem with some of these computers and everything just falling apart, and I'm just, my eyes are bugging out, and I've been up for hours trying to make it do right, and it just goes, and I said, come on now. I restart it, doesn't fix it, and it just goes on and on and on. I finally get on Google, and I say, I'm looking for a fix. And I'm not talking about some certain kinds of fix, but I'm talking about a fix. I'm looking for a fix for this problem. And Google always has an answer. Wouldn't it be nice if we'd think of Google before we spend the whole night trying to make it work? I'm talking about something greater than Google. Wouldn't it be nice if we would talk to Jesus before we stay up all night pulling our hair out? Wouldn't it be all better if we would go ahead and talk to Jesus before we get sloppy drunk and can't make sense out of anything and make all kinds of promises we can't even remember we made? And sleep in places we don't even remember sleeping, and having kids calling us daddy we don't remember being their dad. Reach. I'm talking about people tonight. The living, grateful dead. The people who think they're so happy, have so much when they've got what they got. But it can just take just a little bit of wind to mess it all up. As soon as all this economy started falling apart, we started hearing it in the news almost every day. People blowing their brains out. Destroying their family, seeing no hope. Jumping off of buildings. Taking poison, burning themselves alive. Doing all kinds of crazy things. Robbing others because they didn't have anything to lose. Being willing to go to prison, at least they'll have a place to stay and have something to eat. That's getting pretty desperate. Rather hurt somebody and go to prison than have to stay out in the field all the time or out in the woods. At least you got a place to lay your head. That's pretty desperate. That's the hopeless world we live in. But you let it just turn around for a moment. Right now, you know, if last week you'd have thought about it, and I mentioned it to Brother Bradley before church, start looking to investing in bonds and look for the dollar to become strong. You think I'm being weird? You watch it. Next few weeks, there's going to be a run on the dollar, and the people around the world are going to say, my, what a mighty dollar. What a mighty thing it is to have American dollars. Because the whole world is collapsing. But even in our collapse, we've got more than the rest of the world. And as everything is falling apart and the monetary system all around this world is crumbling, people are so desperate they have less than nothing. And they're going to look at the almighty dollar to be the answer. But it won't be. But then when people who have a lot of cash right now start turning around and say, I've got them. I got some dollars. Woo! I'm happy. Same people that were crying in their beer just a few weeks ago. Crying tears. The same people. All of a sudden are going to be so happy. Now I've got my answer. Now I've got what I've been longing for. Now I've got what it takes to have a happy life again. What did they get? Money. So it comes and goes. It's up and down. You have it, you don't have it. But if that's all you got, you don't have what it takes to really be strong and victorious. My great-grandpa looked at us one day while he's sitting on the hood of a car, and he started telling us his plans for the future. Chewing his tobacco and telling us his plan. He's about 80 years old. I'm going to buy me a nice spread of land. I'll build me a house to settle down in. Yeah, he had it all figured out. He had this byword he used all the time. Gentleman. That's what he'd say. Gentleman, it's going to be good. Ooh. I remember during that conversation, my dad put some kind of an apparatus on the car. While he's sitting on the hood, it shocked him. You know, he had He had that car wired somehow, so he was sitting there on that hood. I was like, ooh, and he said, gentlemen, I thought I had a stroke. I remember that day. You know, when you're when you grow up and you think back, sometimes you remember things you don't think you would. I still remember my old girlfriend's birthday, when I proposed to her when I was 8 years old. I think I still have a scar from where I wrote her name on my arm with a knife when I was 7. Yeah, I got a little of it. May the 9th. That's her birthday. I haven't wished her happy birthday in 57 years, but I don't even know if she's alive or not. But every year, on May the 9th, I think about Valinda. My God only knows what she would look like right now, but I mean, I see her as that little 8-year-old girl that I wanted to marry. You know, I chased her almost an hour one night just to get her to let me kiss the bottom of her shoe. That's love, man. Now, that is love. But here I am, 65 years old, thinking about what I did when I was 7 years old. Is that what that is? Every time May the 4th comes around, guess what I think about, Sister Lynn? Johnny Wall. Now, how long has that been? 25 years ago that Sister Lynn and I were sitting over here in the Baker's living room. Sister Lynn was looking for a boyfriend. And it just didn't matter as long as it's a man. No, I'm going a little too extreme. But it's just like anybody... Anybody passed by that would smile, aha, that's mine. She was a young, attractive lady, like she's still attractive, but not quite as young. And then Johnny Wall came up here and visited us. Woo! He was a hunk, wasn't he? Woo! Man, she could get excited. I saw her get excited. And we were sitting around. Brother John's not here, so I'm talking free tonight. We were sitting around the house there. Oh, he's maybe watching. Oh, you're in trouble now. We were sitting around the house there on Golden Street about 25 or 26 years ago. I know, but we were sitting there, and we were making a tape recording. I don't know if you remember this or not. You remember that tape recording? And whose birthday is May the 4th? Your birthday, right? And we were sending this tape to Johnny Wall. And here I am 26 years later, and I hear it just like it happened an hour ago. Sister Lynn made sure he knew that her birthday is May the 4th. And she kept saying, May the 4th, Johnny Wall! May the 4th, Johnny Wall! I know his brother came up here later, and they weren't interested in each other, but he kissed her as soon as he got here almost. So, I mean, that was... Hey, I shouldn't be telling all this, should I? You may not remember, but I remember that stuff. Yeah, you were sitting there. We were at Jewish City at that Chinese place, and he went over and said, and he just reached over and smacked you on the cheek one time. You don't remember that? Man, it must not have been very deep, but I mean, it's like a... But what my point is, years go by and you still remember little things that didn't amount to anything. Didn't amount to anything to her. Johnny Wall and Don Wall, they were just people coming through and we were all having a good time. She wasn't really looking for a man that much, except she was sort of. But but so were every other lady in the church at that time and every man. And we had the He-Man Woman Haters Club that I organized when I came here, because we had about 12 disciples and they were all unmarried, and I ended up being about the only one left in the club. How many of you were in my He-Man Woman Haters Club? Brother Joe, Brother Mike, Brother John, your husband. You got to tell in. Yeah, this all pretty much happened for you. Brother Brad, you never did join it, did you? Or did you? Yeah. She's looking at you. I think he's kind of like the one that drives a getaway car, you know, when they robbed the bank, he's guilty too. In fact, he's about the only one that had a car. Yeah, I know. We were always kind of off to ourselves meditating. Everybody's in the Word. And I was doing all the work, and they were saying, we'll never work again because we're children of God. Not all of us. You're all sitting there listening to it, and I walked in that day. I know. It's like sitting in this little semicircle, and this new convert had just been serving God a little while. I just walked in. I heard him saying, I'll never work at a job again. I'm going to serve God. And it sounded like everybody was in agreement. I thought you were one of the agreeers there, because I had just been out there slaving over those old pianos in that garage. In fact, one of them had almost turned over on me, and I'd been out there by myself with you 8 or 9 guys sitting in there talking about how you're never going to have to work. And I was trying to hold that piano up by myself. And when I finally went in there, I was just almost broken down, hurting, and I heard that we'll never have to work again. Was it strong? Yeah, I remember talking about it. You're going to have to get a job or you're getting out. And it was strong. Oh, God's good, ain't he? I don't want to get in that too far because trying to be in a positive. But isn't it amazing how you can remember years later? I remember a man who promised me a little radio, transistor radio. I guess it's transistor. It might have even been before. I don't remember what it was made of. I believe it was transistor. I was just a kid. He came out and preached. He came and preached a revival, and there was a little plastic rocket ship that was being advertised on radio and on the black and white round looking TV down at the neighbor's house. And the only one channel we had was Channel 7, and it was fading in and out. But that's where I hung out, because it's on television in our community, besides the one that everybody went down to buy hamburgers at the drive-in. Because they had a television outside, and we'd go there just to eat hamburgers and watch TV because nobody owned a TV. Sat in our car and watch TV. But I remember those days. And this guy came. I'm glad it's only 10 after 9. I'm almost through. This guy came and preached for my dad. And he said, son, when I get back home, I'm going to send you one of those little rocket ship radios. And I counted on that. I mean, the guy's been up there preaching and holding a revival. And I wasn't any older than Thomas over here. And he promised me that. For several years, until I was about 19 years old, every time I'd see that man at a meeting in another state, wherever we would travel, I would walk up to him and say, when am I going to get my radio? When am I going to get my radio? Now, here I am, still wanting it. He'd probably been dead for 30 or 40 years, but... But I remember it. I remember how much my little heart longed for that little radio. It made me so sad when he kept saying, it's going to be coming soon. But like I said in the beginning of this, talk is cheap. And I've heard the wind blow before. It happens from the time we're really young. And it happens all through life. And we need to come to a conclusion somewhere in the middle of all this living. Are we going to make the choice to get higher than anything this world has to offer? Or are we going to keep on going in that rat race circle and forsake the way of God that would make things so much better? Other things that I remember that I hope I will never forget. 12 years of age, kneeling at an altar, tears in my eyes, 2 elderly ladies, one on each side of me while everybody else was down at the pine cone looking at the TV in the parking lot. because they didn't think I'd ever quit seeking. I mean, we were at a church where you got to get there before 10 o'clock. But when I decided I wanted God, I wanted to be in the altar till I found Him. Because I was tired, even at 12 years old, of faking it, of not really being what I was convinced I could be. And I'll never forget that moment. I don't want to forget it. While they were almost all gone, the whole church had left, except Sister Cyphers and Sister Gibbs. Now, these ladies have been dead for more than 50 years. Sister Cyphers and Sister Gibbs. One on my right, one on my left, and me kneeling there with tears in my eyes. One of them saying, "Hold on, son." And the other one saying, "Just turn loose. Hold on, son." See, I remember that, although I was just a kid. Hold on. Now, come on now, just turn loose, let it go. Turn loose, son. Hold on. Just keep holding on now. Just hold on. Come on now, let it go, turn loose. But I didn't get confused. I found out a long time ago, although this seems impossible, you can turn loose and hold on at the same time. Hallelujah. Can't go forward and backward at the same time. You can't go up and down at the same time. You can't be saved and lost at the same time. You can't be a lot of things that I mentioned at the same time. But I learned through the years, after hearing those ladies say that over and over while I was seeking God, that you can hold on and turn loose at the same time. Praise God. Because the moment that it happened was when I raised those hands and completely turned loose of the world. And at the same moment, I held on to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I turned loose and I held on in the same moment. You did too, remember? Remember when God saved your soul? You turned loose and you held on at the same time. Hallelujah.